home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Garrett Miller and Rob Watson.
And we're here. I'm Rob.
And I'm Garrett. Welcome back to Rated LGBT Radio. Rob, how are you?
Radio. And you were making me giggle before we went on the air, which is just
good.
Yes.
Do we want to tell anybody what that's about, or are we going to keep it a secret for a while?
Well, that's up to you. It was your secret, so I'm. You know.
Okay. Well, see, I think if I say anything now, it's going to release too much information, and I don't necessarily think that's a good thing because I need to make sure it's, you know, copyrighted and all that first. But
right.
I'm working on a new song.
I won't say anything about the new song you're working on. Oops.
Yeah. Well, saying that I'm working on new music is great, but I can't reveal any of the details there, but I will let you know that, and Rob and I were talking about this right before the show. I got notification from the people at number1music.com that Sweat and Testify is the number one hip hop song in the United States for the fourth week in a row this week, which I love. So thank you very much everybody for that. But, just crazy.
Yeah. That it's fantastic. It's deserved.
It is.
It's wonderful.
It's, really awesome.
It's a hot song to work out to, you know. And if people don't have it right now, they should go buy it.
They should. Gregory Blair is going to be our VIP special guest star. He'll be calling in just a couple of moments, so I'm looking forward to having him on the show. This will be our first time to have Gregory as a guest. Hopefully not the last, so we'll have him on in just a tiny little bit. But we were gone last week because I had this award show thing to go to here in LA called the Academia Music Awards. So I'm sorry that I missed you guys last week, but I'm glad we're back tonight. So after we talk to Gregory at the half hour mark, we'll be coming back on and Rob's going to be having all kinds of stories to share, things that he's going to be, you know, publishing and getting out there. But in the meantime, Rob, what's been going on in your world? I missed you. I mean, I kind of count on this.
I know we're both so
time
busy, we don't
out.
Get to really hang out except when we're officially hanging out. I mean, it's like,
right.
We're kind of like a reality show. Our friendship's like right out there for everybody to watch us.
Yeah.
Be friends.
Well, if you want to get on Bravo, I'm fine with that.
So, had a great show on out in Santa Cruz last weekend with a couple that starred in the film Transfixed. And, Martine and her husband John, and the film is about their story. Their Martine is transgender. They both have Asperger's, and so that's kind of created both their bond and their relationship. And they were a fantastic couple to talk to. It was like one of those shows you end and it's like, wow, you know. It was so great to be part of that.
Can I ask a question? I just don't know. What is Asperger's? I've heard of that before, but I don't really know anything about that or what it does to folks.
I am not an expert, so I'm going to give a very poor answer here. But it is part of the processing spectrum that potentially can include autism, and it has to do with kind of being very fixated. It's something that I am having trouble describing, but when you watch each of these individuals in the film, you can see it and you can see how they react to the world around them and go, oh, there's something. And that something is Asperger's. So I don't know that that gave you much definition, but.
No, not at all. That was not helpful at all, Rob.
Sorry. Okay, well, I'm losing my doctor creds here.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're going to have to go back to medical school for that. So how did the show, I mean, did you have a lot of people calling in about it, or what was the feedback that you got?
We got a lot of praise. We didn't have a lot of call-ins. We did a giveaway, and we got a call-in for the giveaway. So people are definitely listening. The show came about because one of the other hosts at KSEO, and you can go to the station, KSEO.com, was at CineQuest, and she ran into the publicist there, and he told her about the film, and she said, you know, that really fits our other show out in Santa Cruz, and she connected us up, and we put it together. But it was And the film is opened in Palm Springs, and it is premiering also then in New York City. So it's just opening right now across the country. And
very nice.
It's documentary, independent film, plays like an independent drama, though. I mean, it's their story, and they put it all out there. And basically the premise is that Martine had not had her surgery, her reconstruction surgery, being transgender. And John did not realize she was transgender until she told him. And his criteria for them getting married was, I need you physically what you're going to be before we can get married. And so it was her drive to get surgery because she wanted it, but also because, you know, her whether she got married or not was on the line.
Wow. That's kind of a big, powerful story.
It is. And they're very honest. And part of John, besides having Asperger's, has Tourette's. And so this is a man that says what is ever on his mind when it is on his mind. You don't get any mincing, any soft pedaling. It's like, boom, it's right out there. And that's just, you know, the way he is. And so, you know, you can't really say, ooh, you know, that makes me uncomfortable. It's like, it's what you're going to get. And
just got to deal with it. Well, let's talk more about that after we have our VIP special guest star. I think we have Mr. Gregory Blair joining us now on the hotline here. Gregory, welcome to Rated LGBT Radio. How are you tonight, my friend?
I am thrilled. Hopefully you can hear me now. I was having some issues on my end.
Uh-oh.
That's okay. You know, it's called live radio. So, you know, the fact that we get you is a huge treat for us, you know, to begin with. So anyhow, how's your day?
Great. My day's been terrific. It's been great. Had an audition earlier today, went well, and now I'm here.
There we go. Well, Rob, this is our first time chatting with Gregory, so I want to introduce you to Rob. Meet Gregory, and Gregory meet Rob. So now you guys can be friends.
We kind of met on Facebook because Gregory's reputation and part of his artistry has a lot to do with horror movies, of which I am a self-admitted wimp. And but he promised that he would scare us, but then he'd also hold my hand. So I thought that was very sweet.
Well, you know, everybody has a first time, right?
In theory, yes.
In theory. So, Gregory, do me a favor. So, we haven't really chatted. I mean, I've seen you a half a dozen times, and I want to be BFFs with you, but I don't really know that much about you. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are as a human being, and then kind of catch us up to speed to where we are today?
Sure. I'm a Southern California native, born and bred, been here all my life. So that's something that is always fun for me because there are so few of us. And usually when I meet another Southern California person, they're not blonde, blue-eyed, and they don't surf. So even though that's a stereotype, I've yet to meet an actual Southern California native that does all three of those things.
Uh-huh.
So I pretty much grew up and was interested in acting right away and theater and film and all that jazz and did it whenever I could. And then when I got old enough to start studying it, and then started doing it. And it's just been kind of that all from day one.
That's fantastic.
You make that sound so easy.
Oh, that's probably a bad thing. I don't want anyone to think it's easy.
Yeah. So you went or you studied theater at UCLA?
I originally went to UCLA to study theater, and I was taking theater courses and all that jazz. This is kind of a bizarre story. I ended up not particularly loving the theater department for various reasons, and I ended up moving to South Campus, which is the hard sciences, because I always liked anatomy and physiology, and there was this part of me that thought, maybe I should be a doctor. So I was taking those sorts of classes and, you know, playing with the corpses and studying all that jazz. And then I thought, yeah, but I don't want to sit in an office and, you know, find out if people have colds and stuff. That's not really me. I'm more artistic and creative. So I headed back to the middle ground where there's liberal arts and started studying writing more intensely, which is turned out to be a good thing because I started doing writing in addition to acting. And then after I got out of doing that, little by little, somehow the directing came into it and the producing came into it, and I just keep adding things, and, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll stop someday.
Oh, don't stop. No, keep going. Yeah. We'll have to compare notes because I also started at UCLA in the theater department and ended up writing, and, you know, so I get the path. That's been on it. So you have a film that has been announced, Evil's Toy. What is that about?
Oh, Evil's Toy. Yes, that is based on a screenplay by a friend, Cheryl Compton. And Bill Oberst Jr., as far as I know, is rumored to be the lead villain in that. And it's very twisted. It's sort of the story of this woman, and she unleashes this demon. And naturally, bad things happen.
I've heard that happens when you release demons, that it's not usually
a good thing. I don't know why people do that.
We need to talk to the Republican Party. They seem to be interested in doing that these days.
Oh, well, yeah, don't get me started.
Hey, you and me both, yeah. So anyway, she releases these demons. What happens?
Oh, I don't want to give away. I don't want to, and it's not my story to tell, you know.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to give anything away that, you know, Cheryl wouldn't want put out there yet. So, I better plead a strange version of the fifth on that.
Okay. So, what is your forte in the horror genre? Are you more a writer, actor, director of the baddies, or are you more the innocent bystander who gets dismembered and otherwise mayhemed across the screen?
Well, to be fair, I'm pretty open season as far as that goes. tend to be, interestingly, when I'm cast in projects that are comedy, more often than not, I'm the fall guy, the boob, the dork, the geek, all of those sorts of things. But in horror, I tend to be cast more as villainous. And I like all ends of both of those ends of the spectrum. So, you know, it's all good by me.
Yeah, well, that's more fun to play, I think.
I guess part of it is I've never been the handsome hero type. So, you know, that's what you need for your main character. And then all of those side characters that create all the color in the script, that's always where I've been fitting in. And so, I mean, that's, you know, I'm a character actor. That's what I do. So, yeah. And I happen to love it. So it works for me.
Yeah. It's to me, the character actor careers are the ones that are both the most fascinating and I think the ones that are potentially the most rewarding. I just interviewed Beth Grant, who is a very well-known character actress, and her range of roles that she has been able to play just seems like it'd be so much more fun to show up as set and look at who this part is and, you know, dissect it and all that stuff. Whereas a lot of the leads, especially if you're one of those name people, that they show up and it's sort of like, okay, what am I doing in this today? You know, it's just me again. You know, I really admire people who do what you do that are.
That's great. I think every actor, whatever their niche is, whatever the thing that they do is, I think you do it for love, and you have to. I mean, if I were, you know, 6 foot tall, dark, handsome, beefy 20-year-old, I would hope that I would be happy to play the kinds of roles that that guy gets, you know, that's your basic romantic lead kind of role, character type, with exceptions. I mean, you know, if somebody wants to do the 40-year-old virgin part 2, I could do that. But normally, no, I'm going to be the villain or the sidekick or whatever. And I love it. So it works.
So what is your dream project? When you go to sleep at night, what is the one that's sitting out there that you know you want to make someday, you want to do?
Wow, there are so many. It's like choice times 20. There's a screenplay that I wrote about Ludwig of Bavaria that I would love to see somebody produce. I mean, it's going to be a huge, hugely expensive film. Obviously, it has to all have to be filmed on location, blah, blah, blah. But I would that's won a couple of awards and different contests and stuff. So I know it's a good script. It's just a matter of getting somebody who's excited about bringing that person's story to life. I have another one that's actually about Marilyn Monroe and Montgomery Clift and Clark Gable and everybody involved in the Misfits, which was her last film and his last film. And so there's all sorts of gravitas around that. And that script also got some awards and got a lot of attention and whatnot. So I would love to see those things happen, come to fruition. And
The Marilyn, I mean, I don't know enough about Bavaria and obviously their details, but that one that you just described with Marilyn Monroe and Montgomery Clift, that sounds absolutely fascinating.
When I do these sort of biographical scripts, you know, it's buckets and buckets and buckets of research, and you dig and you dig and you dig, and it's amazing the things that you discover. It's there's so much amazing stuff that happened on that set, and it's terrific. I mean, but it was the same thing with Ludwig of Bavaria, even though, you know, that's, you know, a different time period. The more I dug, the more fascinating things I found. I mean, what an interesting person. I mean, he was so conflicted, you know, because he was very religious, but he was also homosexual. So he had that sort of torment thing going on. And then he had to be a king, but he really didn't like dealing with people and affairs of state and whatnot. And then you find out he was, I mean, if it wasn't for him, Wagner probably would not have become as famous as he did, because it was Ludwig who was basically supporting him.
Right.
So we wouldn't have potentially had some of those operas. And then he built all of those castles, and he used the first electric lights and the first sliding glass doors. And I mean, he was such an innovator. He was into photography. I mean, he's an amazing character. And I didn't know all of that at the time. I just thought, that's the guy who did the castles. I think that might make an interesting movie. And then I discovered all this other stuff, and it was like, wow. So,
well,
yeah.
Disney wouldn't have its logo without
unearthing it.
Yeah, Disney wouldn't have his logo, because that's their logo is one of his was based on one of his castles.
Absolutely, it's based on Schwanstein, which I went to. Well, I went up into that area and saw several of castles, and my God, they're spectacular.
Yeah, I saw them also. It is something incredible, especially when you look at the time period they were built. I mean, they're so modern.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was very into what's the newest thing, what's the newest technology. He was very forward-thinking and aggressive in many ways.
So with these projects where you've written them, would you hope or plan that you would be the title role and play like Montgomery Clift and play Ludwig in those projects?
Oh, no. Ludwig demands a certain look, certainly, and there's also It would be a makeup issue, of course. They'd have to, because they have to age him, because it's his whole life story I'm telling. I certainly don't think I have the right look for Montgomery Clift. Actually, there's an actor, Craig Chester, who has always wanted to play Montgomery Clift. He loved the script. We just could never get enough producers to put it together. That was many years ago, and it's still sitting on a shelf, unfortunately. But maybe as I mature, I'm starting to look a little bit more like out of my head, Arthur Miller. So maybe I could play Arthur Miller, because he was on set the whole time, part of the ensemble, because he
I
was
could totally
married
see that.
In, yeah, married in Maryland at the time.
Yeah, but
it would be kind of funny to have a guy who's the writer play the writer.
There you go. Well, that would be one for Jeopardy. You know, it's like the $800 question.
Exactly.
But that is really a fascinating project, though, because when you look at the history of all of those actors that you mentioned, that was like their not just final film, but it was also the pinnacle of each of their lives. They were each about to step out after that.
Pretty much. Yeah, Cliff did a few more films, and Monroe started another film, but she never finished the film after that. So Mrs. was the last one she finished, and Gable had a heart attack after. And so he never made any other films. And yeah, so it's really interesting that these ailing people all end up getting in this same project, which is kind of about ailing people. So it's very weird and very meta. That's what it is. It's very meta.
No, I really hope you make that movie. It sounds fascinating and sounds like it, I mean, it has real depth to it. I think it would be amazing.
So yeah, those are two that I'd really like to see. And neither one of those are horror.
I know, you haven't scared me yet.
Yeah, no, but, no, you know, I try to I try to keep the scary stuff in the movies if I'm in there doing them.
So Gregory, can I ask you a question from a you know, like a business side of it? Because, you know, it's always fun to go see the movie, it's always fun to be part of it, but the thing that I'm always fascinated about is the business aspect of it and what it takes to actually get the money put together to do these types of projects. What's it like for you as an independent everything working in Hollywood today when you're attached to these projects, either as somebody who's either hired as talent or you're, you know, as an actual producer trying to get this off the ground? What's been your experience over the last, you know, 5-10 years?
Well, as an actor, it historically has been you contract, and that's pretty much it. You don't have to outside of that. It's about you and doing your performance. Once the movie then is ready to be premiered and be seen, you start doing the PR and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Nowadays, I think they want actors, especially in the independent world, they want actors to help hype the project to hopefully attract more finance pieces of the puzzle. That's more and more common, I think, today than it was previously. So that's the thing that's changed for actors. As far as producing goes, it's still hustling. And whether or not you're a totally independent guy, you know, and it's your first film and you're just doing like a crowdfunding campaign, or you're pitching to investors and putting together portfolios, it's still kind of the same skill and the same outreach. It's just a matter of you're dealing with bigger numbers and people with bigger pockets. That's really the difference.
So
did that answer your question?
Yeah, that's a great answer. I'm going to have a follow-up here, though. Is why do you think I probably could answer it myself, but you know this so expertly being in it. Why do you think that the roles of actors have changed to now have to be kind of quasi-producers along the way? You know, you mentioned, you know, now, you know, people are kind of expecting the talent to get on board and, oh, come and help us raise $1 million to go make the film, because otherwise it can't happen without you.
Well, I think it's different depending on where you are in the scheme of things. For example, if you're a very small-time independent producer, you want to try to get like one name person, even if it's a big fish in a small pond. Like in the horror industry, there are names that are big names in horror, but outside of horror, people don't know them. But if you're making a horror film, for example, and you get one of those people, it creates buzz for your project. And I love that guy. I want to see that guy. Now I'm invested in this movie emotionally or whatever, you know. And that gets them sometimes, if you're doing a crowdfunding campaign, for example, to want to throw a few bucks your way so that, you know, because they want to see the film that, you know, Joe Schmo is going to be in it.
Right.
A bigger scale is kind of the same thing, you know, because you can approach, investors when you, part of your portfolio can be, oh, I've got these A-list actors and look at, here's their previous films and their previous box office draw. And that makes investors go, oh, okay, I'm going to have a good return investment on this. And they're more likely to give you some money. So in that sense, it works the same, but I think, it's a little more hands-on and feet on the ground and in the dirt when you're a smaller, more independent producer and actor involved in one of those productions.
As somebody who's both in front of and behind the camera, and by the way, we're going to be respectful of your time. I know we said we'd keep you about 20 minutes. We'll keep you for about another 4 or 5 if that's okay. So what changes do you see? Okay, well, you know, you're up in Hollywood, and you never know what Lifestyles and the Rich and Famous is going to, you know, have in your calendar.
I set aside the time. Hey, man. Okay. You know, I set aside the time for you guys.
But what changes do you think you're going to see in the industry in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 years that are going to be really different than what is out there today?
Well, that's a good question. There's a lot of talk about it, and I'm reading about it, and I can't decide what exactly is going to happen. Certainly, we're going to continue the trend of people watching movies when they want, where they want, in their homes, on their laptops, blah, 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 blah. And that, I think, to some degree changes the films themselves. Because when you're watching on such a small screen, that's a very different experience than when you're watching on a big screen in a darkened theater. You know what I mean? Kids are watching them in the back of a car, on board, on a road trip. You know, that's a very different experience from being in the dark in a big theater with a crowd of people who are, you know, into it with you. That's a whole different experience. I think people are going to create more content that's going to be sort of conducive to smaller screens and whatnot. It's a great lesson I learned when I was making my first film. I was making it for the big screen, and I just sort of like in the back of my head, I said, eventually people will watch it on their laptops and blah, 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 blah. And then you actually see it on the laptop, and it's like, well, that doesn't look very good. So you have to, I think, people will be thinking when they make their movies, how they like them, how they, all of the aspects that go into filmmaking, they'll be thinking about people watching them on their phones. And is this going to be able to be something people can watch on their phones? I don't think that's a good thing, but, you know, I do think that's where it's going.
I don't know. That actually could be a really good thing for the actor, because then the things that will play better are the intimacy and the you know, more of the human moments than the big special effects. Because to your point, blowing up a city on your smartphone.
I hope you're right.
Not such a big thing.
I hope you're right.
Yeah. So
at the end of the day, you know, it's all about story. People are either engaged in your characters and what's happening to them, or you're not. And I think that's some people are, you know, getting a little tired of some of the movies that are just, you know, it's splashy excitement stuff happening, but, you know, the story's on hold for the next 10 minutes while we have this big fight scene or whatever.
Exactly. So a lot of your writing has been in the suspense horror area. What makes a good horror story?
I'm going to say the same thing that makes any good story, and it comes down to characters and plot. If you don't have interesting characters that we care about, we're going to turn it off. And if you don't have an interesting story, it doesn't necessarily have to be totally original, but you should be telling it in an original way or from an original viewpoint or something that is unique and interesting. As far as, I mean, something specific to horror, that's tough because horror is a very broad genre. You know, there are psychological thrillers, there are monster movies, there are body horror, gore movies, and slasher movies. I mean, and those are very different. And sometimes people will, you know, only like one kind of thing, you know. I mean, like, I tend to favor the psychological thriller over, say, the gore fest.
Right.
And some people, that's all they want is show me the special effects, the big gory, you know, stuff. So I think it's important to have something that makes you feel uncomfortable. And that could be, again, if it's really gory, that's kind of repulsive, that makes you uncomfortable, if that's the kind of film you like. If it's creepy and disturbing and you're worried for the protagonist, that's making you uncomfortable. So they're very different experiences in a sense, but it's kind of in the same that same place of, ooh, what's going to happen next? I'm worried. I'm nervous. And then you, of course, the scare happens, and you get relieved and relaxed, sort of. It's like a roller coaster, you know? That's what it is.
Do you have a favorite roller coaster ride that you like to take the viewers on as a storyteller?
My favorite roller coaster.
You know, like, it's like, don't go up into the attic. And you always send them up into the attic, you know?
The attic. Yeah, no. There isn't any one particular place or anything. I think what I like is, as long as the story is engaging, then it's sort of like anything can be suspenseful if there's something that people are worried about. You know, don't. Whatever it is, don't go in the attic, don't go outdoors, don't answer the phone, don't go turn the corner, don't look behind you, you know, it's whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is.
You shouldn't have shown up at the set that day. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So,
that's
wild. Yeah.
You have several that you've written that are in various stages of production. The Heretics, Dead Hamptons, Garden Party Massacre, The Straying. What can you tell us about those?
They're all in different places. Heretics, I think, will come out later this year. I think that's finishing up post, as far as I know. And I'm very excited about that. Directed by a gentleman, Paul Haight. He's British, and he is, I think, his third film. And both of his previous films have been really big hits, so I'm very excited about that. And it has a nice cast as well. It's got, I'm trying to think, out of my head, Claire Higgins from Hellraiser, and it has Michael from Scanners. My head's just Michael Ironside from Scanners. So it's got a nice cast, especially for people who are into horror. So I'm excited to see what happens with that. I wrote the original script, and the director, actually, his writer friend, had re-envisioned it. So I'll be as surprised as everyone else, I'm sure, to see what actually happens in that one. And Garden Party Massacre is in post right now. That is, you'll be safe with that, Rob, because it's mostly a comedy.
Oh, okay.
It's a horror comedy spoof. So you'll feel very comfortable with that, I'm sure. That's about a backyard gathering that goes awry when an uninvited guest shows up with a pickaxe. And they all have to try to stay alive. And it's
okay,
sort of
Gregory,
spooked.
You're making me a little nervous with that. Even they're
laughing. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. I mean, there's a couple of scares, but mostly it's just laugh. It's really very funny. I have a great bunch of actors that journey through that with me. And, yeah, it's a hoot. The script already won last year at the Fantastic Four Film Festival. So I feel pretty confident that it's gonna be a real win, and I'm very excited about it. I can't wait to get it out there. I think people are really, really gonna like it. I'm excited about that. And I forgot what else you mentioned.
Well, Dead Hamptons. That sounds like it could be another scary / comedy, or is that a serious deal?
Oh no, Dead Hamptons is actually a. It's really just a thriller. It's almost like detective fiction. No, it's not really a horror film at all. I mean, there's the detective has to catch a killer, so there are some killings, but it's not horror. It's a thriller.
Those are actually the kind I love. So that one, buy me a ticket. I'll be
a buy you a ticket. Okay.
Gregory, wait. Rob, we're helping support independent artists here that need to make a buck. He's not going to buy us a ticket. We're going to pay for our own way, and we're going to go and we'll buy our own tickets to Gregory's films.
Okay.
I'll buy your ticket. You buy the popcorn.
Okay, there you go. All right. Yeah, well, I bought your album, so, yeah.
There you go. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Garden Party Massacre is not out yet, but Deadly Revisit is. So if you look that up... If you go to just the main website, it's deadlyrevisionsmovie.com. There's a link on there to the SDL website. That's the distributor. And then there are all of these links on his page of where you can buy it or rent it or stream it or whatever it is you want to do. So that's out there, and you can get that now. It's on Amazon Prime and blah, blah, blah. Hulu, I forget where else, Target, Walmart, yada, yada, yada. You can get that anywhere pretty much. And if you can't, let me know. But Garden Party Massacre, you have to wait on. Some of these other things, as I said, they're all in development, so they're further down the road.
So what other pieces of work of yours are out there right now that people can go to Amazon, get, go to one of the streamings and watch? What of you can they absorb immediately?
Well, let's see. I'm not sure what television stand is out there that you can watch. Love That Girl is available. I think you can see that online. I know Ooga Booga is out. That was interesting. We were just talking about The Misfits and everybody's last film. That was Karen Black's last film. She's spoofing herself in Trilogy of Terror. It's really a love thing, and she's wonderful. But it's a scary movie, Rob. So I don't think you're gonna like that.
Well, I don't know. I'm really compelled to see it because I did see Trilogy of Terror, which is probably one of the pieces that scared me off horror films. Sort of like, okay, that's enough. But I love Karen Black, and that sounds really intriguing.
So you could try that. I'm trying to think what else is out there that I know you can get. There's a really weird movie called Freudian Eyebrow. That was my first lead villain role. I'm not very nice in that at all. I don't know what – that was a very experimental film. I'm not sure what – I'm going to say it's a mystery, but – it's a weird mystery. That's the best. It's about a bunch of kids who do this midnight experiment, and I'm the last minute proctor, and maybe I'm not what I pretend to be. It's very bizarre. It's a very bizarre film, but I know that's out there. Oh, Zombie Strippers. I know that's out there. You can see that. I'm in the background. I'm one of the zombies. You'll probably not even notice me. But so I know those things are out. And then what else online? Certainly Old Dogs and New Tricks is still out there online. And help me out here. Child of the 70s is out there online.
There you go.
I'm background in that one. I just helping out. But so, you know, there's stuff out there, and there's a lot more coming. There's a movie called On the Rocks that'll be coming out. Hopefully that'll be out later this year as well, about the same time as Heretics. And hopefully I'll have Garden Party Massacre out before the end of this year, too. I'm trying to get it ready in time for Halloween.
Yeah.
Perfect
well,
timing,
have
right?
You back for that.
Yeah, Mark? Definitely. They all sound wonderful. I have to say that the ones that you have your heart sunk into in the future are both sound like absolute blockbuster wonderful. So I'm really putting a lot of juju to have that happen for you because those sound fantastic.
Well, I would, yeah, like I said, those are the ones I'm hoping to get out there.
And then, Gregory, real quick before we let you go, by the way, if you're watching or listening to the show right now live on the show page, if you click Gregory's name, Gregory Blair, it actually hyperlinks to his Facebook fan page. You can go and like him on Facebook. But, Gregory, do you have other places you love to be connected to your fans?
The Facebook page is good. I'm on Twitter, the Gregory Blair. Where else? God, I'm everywhere. I'm on IMDb, obviously. I'm on Pinterest. Now it's like every time I blink, there's a new thing I'm supposed to be on. I can't keep up. You know what I mean? It's like, now there's a what? There's a who's what? There's a this, that?
Yep.
It's hard to keep up on everything. I have a website. If you go to the deadlyrevisionsmovie.com, I think there's a link from there to my official web page.
What's that website one more time?
It's www.deadlyrevisionsmovie.com.
There we go.
I think that,
cool.
that will link you to be able to get the movie and learn more about the movie. And I think it has a link, if I'm not mistaken. I'm actually going to go look right now and see if I'm just like sending you somewhere bogus. There's a link down there to history and contact, and I think if you do that, if you click on history, you can get to my Facebook page, and yeah, I think you'll be able to get there eventually. There's a home page, finally.
Well, I have to tell you, you Google well. If you put in Gregory Blair, you get you, and you come up, and it's all your stuff, so.
That's what I should have said. That's the answer. The next time somebody asks me, where can they find you, I'm going to say Google me.
Yeah. Because
that probably brings up everything, the Facebook page, the Twitter page, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it pulls it right up there. If you Google Rob Watson, you have to put either Rob Watson gay, Rob Watson dad, or gay Rob Watson gay dad. And then but I have to have one of those descriptors with me to be the Rob Watson. So.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure you get there's more than one Gregory Blair out there. So you probably get more than just me. You'd probably have to put Gregory Blair writer or actor or something
that's my point is you put Gregory Blair, you come up
and you still all me. Wow, I'm impressed.
We're very impressed.
I guess I'm paying those Google people well.
Yeah. that's the new claim to fame. If you can Google you and it's you, you've made it, baby.
So, Gregory, I want to thank you for being on the show. We are going to let you get on with your evening and appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. So, everybody, go support Gregory Blair's projects. And as we get closer to the Halloween timeframe, make sure that you get, you know, I mean, I know we'll be talking and I'll see you, but make sure we get you scheduled for before Halloween so we can have you come back on and talk about the release of Garden Party Massacre.
That would be great. I'd love to.
Right on. Cool. Thanks, Gregory. I appreciate you being here. Have a great night.
Thanks.
All right, guys, you too. Good talking with you.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a real quick break and then come back and find out all the cool things that Rob is sending out into the world. So stay tuned. Here's a little commercial break from Rainbow Brew.
The freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
There we go. Rob, we're back.
Yeah. We're back. Yay.
And you know what? We were talking before the show, and I was like, Rob, I can't hear you. And you're like, I'm adjusting everything. Apparently, I have two different headset volume things on my microphone. I found the one, but not the other, and I've been monkeying around. So now I can hear everything loud and clear, because I'm going like, Rob, you sound like you're in a tin can. You got to speak up. And anyway, so what a pleasant surprise to have Gregory on the show and have him be so interesting and informative. I mean, I've known that from talking to him outside of this, but to really get an insight on what's going on in his world, that was a treat.
Yeah, no, although, you know, now I feel completely in this teased zone, because the two movies he described that he wants to do,
I totally
want to see those.
Yeah, me too.
I totally want those to be real movies. They're both absolutely fascinating. And it's just thrilling to have people come on and tell us about their vision and hopefully they will make it, which if they listen, quite frankly, if they listen to your album, that will give them the insight and the spiritual plug-in to get there. And I mean that really.
So everybody must go out to my website, GarrettMiller.com, and click on the music and buy On Jesus Tonight for a download. It's $10. And that will help everybody in the world make their movies. I think that's a great thing to do.
I think that's the point. And you have to get the whole album, Blind Jesus, because the lead songs are great and they're burning up the charts, and you know, those are all wonderful, but some of my favorites are the ones that are a little bit further under the covers I listen to them all the time because they give me a real jolt in terms of correcting my motivational thinking and, you know, just putting out the right energy and all that sort of stuff. So It is.
Well, thank you.
Besides being a fun, entertaining album, it is very motivational.
You are not paid to say this. We don't have the budget in the show to pay, you know, for paid endorsements. That's just not happening. Thank you for that.
Right.
But you know, one of the songs that's going to be on the remix album that's out in June is "I Am," and I think that's it. I may be mistaken, but I think that may be your favorite song that's on the album. So I'm excited to share that with you. That everybody who has been saying, "Oh my gosh, I love that," we're turning that into a disco remix, folks. Or I don't know if it's disco, but it's a dance remix. So
I'm very extremely excited over that one. Now, I'm going to screw myself up on my Garrett Miller trivia, but The Fog is actually on your first album, right?
The Fog is on the first album, and Fog is here's the real quick story. I may have told it before, so I apologize, but I'm friends with this pastor that's down in Louisiana, and he was chatting with me on Facebook one time, and this is before I was writing Eyes Wide, so it was, you know, this goes back a hot minute. And at the end of our little conversation, just says, stay in the fog. And I'm like, and I looked outside, and it was really a foggy day in Huntington Beach. And there was no way that he could have known that, even looking at a weather report. And, you know, clearly nobody's going to look at a weather report before, you know, saying something like that. And I said, I have no idea how you knew it was foggy here. And he goes, what are you talking about? And he says, be in the fog, be in the favor of God. And I went, oh my God, I just got chills. And so I wrote this song called Fog, about when you think you're all alone in the world, there's really a lot of support behind you. You might not see it because you're in the forest through the trees. So, I love that you love that song, Rob, because it was so much fun to do.
I have to tell you, it's part of the thing that I love doing what I'm doing right now, where, you know, I have a favorite album and I listen to it all the time. And it happens just coincidentally to be a good friend of mine who did it. And I can call you up and we can talk about it. So I get to hear like the inside scoop of these songs.
Inside stories. Yeah.
The when I heard that song the first time, it was like, I love this song, but it's so counterintuitive because normally, you know, it's like, you know, get yourself in the light, get yourself, you know, the blue air, the rainbow, this is about the fog. And it talked about fog in a very really relatable way, which I actually love fog. I live up in Northern California in the Redwoods, and fog here is just gorgeous. And, you know, so I related to it, but I thought it's still kind of an odd image. And then
right.
when we talked and you said, oh, fog, favor of God. It was like, I got chills. And,
yeah.
You know,
and I get chills
like,
right when you say that. I got chills again.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But
yeah,
you know,
it was like, oh wow. And so now when I hear it, it just blows me away, which is a whole other weather.
Well, I know it, cause you have that, but you know, cause I kept thinking, you know, if I'm going down to the beach and I'm standing there and it's crystal clear out, it is, you know, if it's in the morning or late at night, you know, it is bone cold and you hear all of the sounds and there's so much around you that is just kind of like crashing around. It could be waves or you can hear traffic or whatever. But when you're in that fog, there's kind of this quiet, serene, peaceful thing that happens. And that's what I kept thinking about when I was writing this song. It's like, you know, when you are surrounded by the fog, there's a different aura that's around you and a different energy. And gone is a lot of the noise that you hear that's, you know, kind of not productive to your life. And to me, if you're surrounded by fog, you're, you know, as opposed to like standing there without any fog, it's going to be really, really cold and chilly. With fog, even though it's really super moist, it does kind of raise the temperature a little bit. So it's almost a little comforting in a weird way. But that was my thought process behind that.
Right. Well, it's, again, it's one of those things that has ideals in it that just, they not only speak to me, they speak to me in a moment when I need them to speak to me.
Good.
So,
good.
And partly because of our relationship, it's also like, okay, I don't need to call Garrett. I just plug in my iPad and there you are.
I can't get him on the phone. Let me get my iPad out. Yeah.
So
well, okay. Enough about me. If you want to buy any of my music, go to my website, GarrettMiller.com. Shameless plug is now officially over. Let's talk about Rob and what's happening in Rob's world and what's coming up on Out in Santa Cruz this Saturday night.
Well, this Saturday night, we actually have a great show. It's one of the ones we do every year, and I love it. One of the things in Santa Cruz that we do, that we have done, and I'm saying it like we, like I had absolutely anything to do with its origins. I'm the recipient, not the the forerunner. But we have an award ceremony called the Queer Youth Leadership Awards, and it honors teens in the schools here who are LGBT and have taken leadership roles. And it honors the allies that and organizations who have helped them. And it is a really wonderful thing, which obviously is not everywhere. In fact, it's practically nowhere else that they do this. And it is kind of like a forerunner, I think, of what can and will happen in different places. But we have GSAs in all the schools up here. Each of them has one. And so there's this real kind of support network for LGBT teens in this area. And I'm proud of that. But more thrilling is to actually talk to these kids and their vision of the world and their sense of equality and all of these things. That also blows me away because, you know, I became an activist when in my later years, let's say, in high school, no way was I wear these.
Ever, right?
No
would
way.
Never do any of those things.
Yeah. And so I sit there and I've interviewed them the last 3 years and my jaw is just completely dropped, you know, through the whole interview, which makes it hard to ask questions. But yeah. Anyway, you know, they're just phenomenal. So we get to talk to them this Saturday night on Out in Santa Cruz, 7 p.m., outinsantacruz.com or KSCO.com. So
I think that's last year's, that's around the time that you and I first got connected, because I think I got a chance to tune into that show last year when you were doing that. So
it was before that, but yeah, because I generally do the show solo on the night mm-hmm. of the awards, which is May 7th. And
Steph is out at the school or something like that.
Yeah, I think you co-hosted with me that event last year.
But, you know, and it just goes, I don't know, I'm stumbling here. I'm just so shocked and proud of these kids who, you know, just, you know, are like, okay, this is just what we're doing. And, you know, here's what we're going to make happen. And we've got this going on and that going on. And they're just trailblazing their way. And they don't really even think twice about why this is so important or so dynamic or so game changing. They just do. And I don't think they really understand, at least from the old fogies perspective, why we think these young people are so tremendous in the community. And, right. you know, hopefully at some point they'll kind of figure that out. I don't know when that's going to be, but they really are just amazing kids.
Yeah. Well, there's a kind of two-edged thing to figure out there, because one, I think they need to understand the history of what a lot of us have gone through that have made the world so that they can walk into the stage and it right. is where it's at. But then there's the other side too, where when you listen to them, you get a vision of where this goes and what this is really about. And mm-hmm. because a lot of them are, you know, stepping out of the different binaries of that you're either this or you're that. And it's like,
right.
it's this black and white
not,
type of
it's
thing.
It's not black and white any longer.
Yeah. And it never really was. But yeah. the thing is, they're digging down to that revelation that people are not necessarily in these binary modes. And so they're really going to be the forerunners of expanding human experience. And it's mm-hmm. just thrilling to see, listen, and, you know, and believe in them.
So we got about 3.5 minutes left. I need about a minute to plug Super Gay Radio on Saturday morning. So what else is going on? What articles do you have coming out? What's happening at home? How is, you know, Freestyle Wednesday food craziness? You know, what else is happening?
Well, since we only got a minute, you actually sent a meme, one of those images out on Facebook that it's something I'd actually been thinking about for a long time. And so I'm noodling on writing about it. And the meme was around the transgender bathroom thing and, you know, all this paranoia
about
a man going into the women's room and, you know, attacking the little girls and da 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 da. And the meme was, you know, hey, listen, if you're that worried about it, these perpetrators, pedophiles that you're worried about have been in the boys' room this whole time. Why haven't you mm-hmm. been worried about the little boys? And as a father of two boys, that's been on my mind for a while. Is why now? Why are we? I mean, the answer is it's all fabricated, but it raises a good question. So potentially my next article may highlight a lot of those points.
Well, and I think that's important. You know, I had a friend of mine. She wrote back. She's in Ohio right now, and she said, you know, at my old gym, I had three choices. Either, you know, let my boy go into the men's room and in the locker room, you know, by himself. Because after the age of 4, I think she said that, you know, you can't take the little boys into the ladies' locker room to, you know, because they're little boys, or, you know, just stand there sopping wet with the kids after swimming practice and, you know, just, you know, hopefully not get anything, you know, sweat ground and do all this other kind of stuff. It's like, you know, and so I don't really think there's a good answer for anybody, but it's, you know, the interesting comment, and I'm not naming any names, but there's a couple of people that I know on Facebook and also socially where they just post the most ridiculous things and you're going, oh, people, you're just like, you're so missing this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Anyway. So we got a minute and a half left.
Yeah, I did write an article about the men's room for mothers, so they would feel better about sending their little boys in there.
Find that?
That's on Evol Equals. And I'm going to put it up on my Facebook page, Evol Equals. So it's facebook.com/EvolEquals.
And by the way, for everybody who is going like, what is that? How do you spell that? Just click on Rob's name on the show page right there. It's going to take you right to that. That Evolve Equals webpage, and you can go read Rob's article there. So for everybody else, tomorrow on the Friday Night Dance Party, we're live at a special start time of 6 p.m. We've got Billboard chart-topping dance recording artist Ashley J in hour number one, and in hour number two, a second guest, the jazz band Kinder Jazz. We're going to be having a twofer tomorrow night for guests. And then on Saturday morning, bright and early at 8 o'clock, we've got Super Gay Radio with Paul Emery as my co-host. We're welcoming, of course, Miss Viola for the RuPaul Review. And then Broadway's own Kenny Kleiber from That's Kentertainment We're going to be doing that all live at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning Pacific Standard Time. Rob, say goodbye real quick because we're going to be cutting off the show in just a couple of seconds, and then I'm going to say goodbye too.
Goodbye real quick.
There we go. Goodbye, everybody. Drive safe. Don't drive distracted. And make sure to come back next Thursday night for Reddit LGBT Radio. Have a great night. Thanks for being here.
Rated G Radio.